This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Boosting Vermont's minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2024. That's the plan Senate lawmakers passed in February, and it's a longstanding goal of many Democrats and progressives in Montpelier. But in the House, the proposal is running up against new concerns about cost, specifically what an increase might mean for thousands of healthcare workers earning the state's current minimum hourly wage of $10.78 or just above. VPR Statehouse reporter Peter Hirschfeld joins us now to talk about all of this movement in this legislation. Hi, Pete.
It's a very exciting time, Jane. How are you?
It always is in May. I appreciate you taking some time for us. So the Senate passed a bill that said we would have to get to $15 by 2024. In theory, a winner for Democrats and progressives, and they hold a supermajority when they work together. So what's the sticking point in the House?
Well, you know, some of the concerns are these age-old concerns about what a $15 minimum wage would do to the private sector, specifically smaller businesses that don't pay their employees very much, and businesses along the New Hampshire border especially, where the minimum wage is $7.25. But there's this new crop of concerns that are sprouting up related to these healthcare organizations that you mentioned. So the state government has in many ways outsourced its human services infrastructure to nonprofit health providers that are based in the community, that serve people with mental health needs, that serve homebound seniors, really anybody that needs care. And a lot of them are funded almost entirely by state and federal money. So the concern is, well, if you suddenly compel these organizations to pay their workers more money, and a lot of them aren't making very much right now, then they're going to have a problem if you don't at the same time increase the state and federal funding that they have to pay those folks, right? If you increase payroll costs and don't give them a budget increase, then something's going to have to give. And the concern is that what's going to give is the amount of resources and services that are available to vulnerable clients.
Pete, some private business owners who employ low-wage workers have testified during the back and forth on this legislation that it would cripple them to have to pay $15 an hour. Is there some irony in lawmakers who might otherwise support this concept suddenly realizing that they, sort of as de facto employers, because this is state money for these healthcare workers, that they're in the same position as these business owners?
I can tell you that I have spoken with a number of business owners, lobbyists for business organizations, who have sort of a self-satisfied smile on their faces right now saying, isn't it ironic that when the problems come home to roost in state government, suddenly lawmakers are much more receptive to those concerns? I will say I've also talked to businesses who say our business models are a little more nimble than what we're talking about in state government. But absolutely, there are people saying, you know, fundamentally the same dynamic is at place in the private sector as it is in the public sector. If you force employers to pay more money, then they're either going to have to lay people off and give them fewer hours, or you're going to see a deterioration in the quality of the services that they're providing.
Now, in addition to what we've just been talking about, for some lawmakers in the House, there's a connection between raising the minimum wage and also making a mandatory paid family leave that would be funded by a payroll tax. Can you draw that connection?
Yeah. So these really are symbiotic proposals, and not in an administrative sense, but more, I think, from a politics perspective. I know that there are a lot of members in the Senate specifically who say, look, I'm comfortable with the paid leave program because I know that we have this minimum wage bill accompanying it that is going to ensure that these low-wage workers have more money to work with. If you suddenly say, we're going to have this paid leave program, but we're not going to have a big increase in the minimum wage, then people get a lot more hesitant to attach a new cost to these low-wage workers' lives, right? There's going to be a payroll tax that they would be required to pay in the paid leave program, 0.5%. And the sense is we're not really comfortable making those low-wage workers pay more money out of pocket if we're not at the same time giving them a substantial raise.
Okay, so where do we go from here, or more to the point, where do lawmakers go from here on this minimum wage legislation?
So I've been talking with House leadership, and I've asked, you know, Is $15 a must-have? Is that an immovable figure that must be reached in this legislation? And increasingly, it seems like the answer is no, or maybe not. And I think they're coming to the realization that if they come up with a minimum wage bill that either moves less aggressively in terms of how long it takes to get to 15 or tops out somewhere below $15 an hour, then they may be able to create a much larger minimum wage tent, as it were, that would bring in a lot of Democrats who support raising the minimum wage in concept, but have real concerns with how aggressively the bill passed by the Senate goes about it.
And where does the governor come in on this? Because it's eventually going to go to the governor's desk.
You know, what's really interesting is that the governor and key members of his administration have been having some really granular conversations with lawmakers. I'm talking everybody from rank and file lawmakers, freshman lawmakers, to leadership. And he is letting it be known there is a path to me getting on board with the minimum wage increase. It isn't the one that gets to $15 an hour by 2024, but if you all come up with a proposal that raises the minimum wage faster than it's going up right now, you know, some happy medium somewhere in the middle, then he's telegraphing that there's a scenario where he actually gets behind it and signs that bill, which would, of course, obviate the need for a veto override. So, you know, the lawmakers are going to have to ask themselves a question. How much are we willing to bend to get something done? And that conversation is going to play out over the next few days.
Likely to happen this year, or you think it'll get kicked to next year?
Hard to imagine a scenario where lawmakers do not pass a minimum wage bill this year. Whether it's $15 an hour or not, we will find out.
Peter Hirschfeld is a reporter for VPR covering the state legislature. Pete, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Jane.